We're going to be preaching a series of messages on the Lamb of God, taking us up through Christmas, except for next Sunday. Next Sunday is Bible Sunday, and so I'd like to bring a message to you about the Word of God. I think it'll strengthen your faith and trust in God's Word. How do we know that God's Word is preserved for us? How do we know that it's inerrant? And share some things with you about the power of God's Word. Also, next Sunday we'll be collecting missions banks. And what that is every $8 that we give goes to buy a full-life study Bible. They're called Fire Bibles. And they are given to pastors and Christian leaders in countries that can't afford the Bibles in some cases, can't afford reference works. And in some cases, this Bible is the only reference work some pastors have. And so we want to be able to give to that cause next week. So bring your missions banks. If you don't have a missions bank but you would like one, see me after the service this morning. Be glad to give you one. And when we collect the banks, if you want to give at that time as well and you don't have a bank, that's fine. You can do that as well. And then just to let you know that on the evening of December 18th will be our annual candlelight service. And then, of course, Christmas comes on Sunday this year, and so we'll be gathering here on the 25th. We're not going to have Sunday school that day, but we will start our worship service at 10:30. Okay, hopefully we'll be done early enough so that you can spend time with your families and do the things that you traditionally do on that day. So would you turn in your Bibles this morning, please, to the book of Luke. We talked last week about how this lamb was promised, and way back in Genesis chapter 3 is really the beginning of the Christmas story. But today we want to skip ahead to Luke chapter 1, and we'll begin reading with verse 26, and we'll read on down through verse 38, is we're going to talk today about the lamb being prepared. Luke chapter 1, beginning with verse 26. And in the sixth month, the angel Gabriel was sent from God into a city of Galilee named Nazareth to a virgin espoused to a man whose name was Joseph of the house of David, and the virgin's name was Mary. And the angel came in unto her and said, Hail, thou art highly favored. The Lord is with thee. Blessed art thou among women. And when she saw him, she was troubled at his saying and cast in her mind what manner of salutation this should be. And the angel said unto her, Fear not, Mary, for thou hast found favor with God. And behold, thou shalt conceive in thy womb and bring forth a son, and shalt call his name Jesus. He shall be great and shall be called the Son of the Highest, and the Lord God shall give unto him the throne of his father David. And he shall reign over the house of Jacob forever, and of his kingdom there shall be no end. Then said Mary unto the angel, How shall this be, seeing I know not a man? And the angel answered and said unto her, The Holy Ghost shall come upon thee, and the power of the Highest shall overshadow thee. Therefore also that holy thing which shall be born of thee shall be called the Son of God. And behold, thy cousin Elizabeth, she hath also conceived a son in her old age, and this is the sixth month with her who was called barren. For with God nothing shall be impossible. And Mary said, Behold, the handmaid of the Lord, be it unto me according to thy word. And the angel departed from her. Father, we thank you for this opportunity to talk about that precious lamb that was promised and prepared to be offered as a sacrifice for the sins of the world. We thank you for that lamb. It was not just any lamb, but the unblemished Lamb of God. And truly, Jesus, you are the Son of God. And what a great privilege we have to be able to recognize that you are not just a lamb that was slain from the foundation of the world, but you become our lamb, our own precious lamb, Savior and Redeemer. We give you glory. We give you thanks for that. We pray, Lord, that you would open up the scriptures today, that we would just be encouraged and we would see your great love for us, that we might be able to love you in return. For we pray this in Jesus' name. Amen. way back there in the Garden of Eden, man created sin, violated a sacred trust with God, and sin came into the world. At that time, God promised that he would send one who would balance the scales, defeat evil, and deliver humanity. For thousands of years, men waited for the promise of God to be fulfilled. And while men waited, God worked. And God chose, first of all, a man by the name of Abram, who became Abraham. And through him, God raised up the nation of Israel. And yet the people of Israel were constantly turning the way from the Lord. They were going after false gods. They were turning their back on him. Sometimes they didn't want to have a relationship with him at all, but God was patient with them, patient through it all, and he continued to work. God worked because he had a plan. He had this plan that was in his mind even before the Garden of Eden. Even before the world was created, God had a plan, knowing that when man was created, man would sin. And he had this plan and how to remedy the sins of man and how he can reconcile the relationship between himself and his creation that would be broken because of the sin. God had a desire to see his people saved from that sin. And so his love for them overcame every obstacle that man put in the path of this plan. And today I want to talk to you about a part of God's work that brought his son, the Lord Jesus Christ, into this world. You know, I think the greatest obstacle that God faced from a human standpoint, because there was no obstacle as far as God was concerned. He's God. He can do everything. He can do anything. But the greatest obstacle in our minds was how God would bring this lamb into the world. How could God bring a perfect sacrifice, someone who was sinless, and offer him as a sacrifice for the sins of the world? How could God bring somebody into this world like that? And so, first of all, I'd like you to notice the place reserved for this preparation. Let's look at verses 26 through 28 again. And in the sixth month, the angel Gabriel was sent from God unto a city of Galilee named Nazareth to a virgin espoused to a man whose name was Joseph of the house of David, and the virgin's name was Mary. And the angel came unto her and said, Hail, thou art highly favored. The Lord is with thee. Blessed art thou among women. So the place that was being prepared was a pure place. We are told that the angel came to a virgin. Contrary to what liberals say, this does not simply refer to a young woman. It refers to a virgin, someone who had never had sexual relationships with a man. And somebody might wonder, well, why is this important anyway? It's important because God promised that he would send the Savior of humanity in this world through the seed of the woman. This simply means that God would send a Savior into the world through the body of a woman without the aid of a human male. Why? Why is this important? Because all humans are sinners, and the Bible tells us that sinfulness is passed on through the seed of man. Because when Adam sinned in the garden, death came upon all men. And through Adam's seed, his descendants would be born with this sin nature. And so everybody that is born into the world is born with this sin nature. We are all sinners from birth. So God's plan was to send into the world him who would be a pure Savior, who would not inherit the sinful nature of humanity, but one at the same time who would inherit a physical body and a human nature. But the only way that God could accomplish this was through the virgin birth of Jesus. This enabled Jesus to be born without sin, live without sin, and die without sin. He was able to give his life as a pure, perfect sacrifice for fallen man. Now, I certainly don't understand all the mechanics of how God sent his son into the world through the womb of a virgin. But I do know this. I know that the Bible says that it happened, and so I believe that it happened, and I also believe that this is a foundational doctrine of the church, because if we lose this virgin birth, then we lose the deity of Jesus Christ, and we have nothing. We have no redemption. We have no Savior. We have nothing without the virgin birth of Jesus Christ. But it's amazing how God, from the very foundation of the world, had this plan. Can you imagine that? He had this plan. He created man knowing that man would sin, knowing that he would have to send his son into the world and he would have to die in sinful man's place. God knew all of that in advance, and yet he loved us so much that he was willing to go through all of that so that mankind could have forgiveness of sin and God could have a personal relationship with us. And God began to plan that, and God began to prepare a place, and he had a place, and he had a virgin that was picked out and who he would be able to accomplish this miraculous event. It was a pure place. It was also a prophesied place. God promised to send his son into the world through a woman. And as the years passed, that prophecy was expanded on by the prophet Isaiah. God would move in a miraculous manner to bring the promised Messiah into the world. It was a pure place. It was a prophesied place. It was a prepared place. When the angel comes to Mary, she is amazed and she is startled. But she is a woman that is willing to respond to the will of God for her life. She was a woman that put her faith and trust in the Lord. She was a faithful servant of his. It appears to me that God must have begun this work of grace in her heart long before the angel came with that announcement. So when the moment arrived, Mary was ready and willing to do all that the Lord desired of her. For a young woman, unmarried, to become pregnant in that day was to be the focus of shame and disgrace and possibly even death. And yet Mary was willing to withstand all of that shame and carry all of those burdens because she wanted to be the vessel that God would send his son into the world. You know, I am thankful today for people like Mary who are willing to do whatever the Lord requires of them. They will do whatever he asks of them, and they're not focusing upon the burden. They're not focusing upon the obstacles, the difficulties, the troubles that might come their way by obeying God. They are willing to go through it all simply so that they can live in the center of God's will and be all that God wants them to be. And I would challenge you this Christmas season to learn from Mary. Learn that truth. Learn the fact that God takes care of those who step out on a limb for him and are willing to be whatever he requires of them to be. Don't hold anything back from him. You know, the greatest gift that you can give him this Christmas season is simply to give him yourself, give him your heart, give him your all. Say, Lord, I will be in the center of your will, no matter what it may cost me, I am willing to do that. And then number two today, the promise revealed in this preparation. Verse 29, and when she saw him, she was troubled at his saying and cast in her mind what manner of salutation or what manner of greeting this should be. And the angel said unto her, fear not, Mary, for thou hast found favor with God. And behold, thou shalt conceive in thy womb and bring forth a son, and thou shalt call his name Jesus. He shall be great, and shall be called the Son of the Highest, and the Lord God shall give unto him the throne of his father David, and he shall reign over the house of Jacob. How long? Forever. And of his kingdom there shall be no end. Mary is told that she will become the mother of a son, but this is no ordinary son, no ordinary child. He would be a son who would be called the Son of the Highest. He will be in human form, human nature, but on the other hand, he will have the God nature. It's hard for man to comprehend how Jesus, the Son of God, could possess both the human nature and the divine nature. But that is what God was able to accomplish through the virgin birth. He would be a man, but he would also be God. This perhaps is one of the most profound moments of all time and in eternity. Because when Jesus Christ was born into this world, God became flesh. God became man and dwelt among us. And we were able to behold his glory. This was the moment that the Creator stepped into the world that he created. This is the moment that the author of the story wrote himself into the story and came and lived among those that he created. God himself robed himself in human flesh and came into this world for one purpose. He came for the purpose of dying upon a cross to save his people from their sins. Right at the very beginning, when Jesus came, John announced him, "Behold, the Lamb of God, which takes away the sins of the world." Jesus himself said, "I have come to seek and to save those that were lost." He came for the purpose of dying. That was his mission. And so we have in verse 31 the promise of a saving child. Mary is told that the child's name will be Jesus. Think about that name, Jesus. There is no greater name than the name of Jesus. People have been saved simply by whispering the name of Jesus. Disciples became apostles because of the name of Jesus. You know, at the name of Jesus, people are healed. At the name of Jesus, people bow down and worship. The Bible tells us that someday every knee will bow and every tongue will confess that Jesus Christ is Lord. There is such honor, there is such power, there is such majesty in the name of Jesus. Simply speaking, the name of Jesus causes demons to flee from you. Jesus. So there is such power in that single name, the name of Jesus. No greater name could have been given. It is a name that is above every name. This Jesus will grow up and one day die on the cross to save lost sinners from their sins. In fact, he will be the only hope that sinners have. He is our only hope today. You know, if Jesus had not been born sinless and lived sinless and died sinless, there would be no hope for us today. But thank God he came and he was able to go to the cross sinless so that God could place our sins upon him. He didn't die for his sins. He died for your sins. He died for my sins. The innocent died for the guilty. He died for you and I. And that name is the only name that will open the gates of heaven, redeem the human soul from the bondage of sin, deliver lost men from the threat of hell, and speak peace and hope to those who do not know God. He would die on a cross, but he would raise from the dead and ascend back into heaven to guarantee salvation for all those who would trust him. Yes, it's a promise of a saving child. It's also a promise of a sovereign child. He would rule on the throne of David. He would rule over Judah, the scripture says, fulfilling prophecies that were given over 1,000 years before that. And someday, all the kingdoms of this world will become the kingdoms of our God and of his Christ, and he shall rule forever and ever and ever. The Bible says of his kingdom, there will be no end. Oh, there's been great kingdoms that have come and gone through the ages. But when the kingdoms of our Lord become the kingdoms of our Christ, there will be no end. What a privilege we have to be able to rule and to reign with him through all eternity. Never having to worry that another dynasty might spring up and take our place. Now, of his kingdom, there will be no end. He shall reign. He will rule forever and ever and ever. All this wonderful truth about the life and the ministry and death of Jesus will be made plain later, but all of that is revealed in seed form for us in this passage. And so the question that is there for you and me today is, do we know him? Can I ask you a personal question, a pointed question today? Do you know him? I'm not asking, do you know about him? I'm asking you today, do you know him? A lot of people in the world know about him, but there's a difference between knowing about him and knowing him. I knew about my wife before I knew her. I had heard her name, saw her, but I didn't know her. I just knew about her. And there are many people today, they know about Jesus Christ. You know, they know about his birth. They're going to celebrate Christmas this year. They know about his life. They even know about his death. They even know that he died on a cross for their sins. Let me tell you, that's not enough today. You have to know him in a personal way. You have to invite him into your heart to be your personal Lord and Savior. And that's what he's waiting for. He's wanting to be born into the hearts of mankind. Waiting to be born, waiting to be invited in by those whom he created, by those he came to save. And number three today, the power released in this preparation. Verse 34, then said Mary unto the angel, how shall this be, seeing I know not a man? And the angel answered and said unto her, the Holy Ghost shall come upon thee, and the power of the highest shall overshadow thee. Therefore also that holy thing which shall be born of thee shall be called the Son of God. And behold, thy cousin Elizabeth, she hath also conceived a son in her old age, and this is the sixth month with her, who was called barren. For with God, say that word, nothing shall be impossible. And Mary said, behold, the handmaid of the Lord, be it unto me according to thy word. And the angel departed from her. First of all, I want you to notice the power to conquer our doubts. Mary hears the words of the angel, but she confesses that she doesn't understand how this can happen. You know that God is not turned away by your doubts? He's not. He says, come, let's reason together. Let's talk about this thing. I can overcome your doubts. God, I don't understand how this could be. Well, come, let's talk about it. I'll help you overcome your doubts. And God is here working with Mary, helping her overcome her doubts. And God is about ready to turn Mary into a miracle. And the angel speaks the words that conquer Mary's doubts. And if you have doubts today, I just invite you to come to the Lord and be honest with him and say, Lord, I have some honest doubt here today. And God won't turn you away because of your doubts, but he'll reveal the truth. He'll help you overcome those doubts in your life. And then there's also the power to carry out his desires. Mary is told that God is well able to do all the things that he said he would do. The angel announces the awesome power of God, and he offers hope and comfort to the heart of Mary. The whole point here is this. We hear the Christmas message, and there is this human tendency to have fear. There's this human tendency to have doubt. We hear about God becoming flesh, being born in Bethlehem, being born in a manger, and we have trouble with that. We hear that he came and he died because he loves us, and that he did it just to save our souls and deliver us from the fire of hell. And part of us says, well, what if he didn't mean it for me? What if that's for somebody else? If you hear the message today and you are plagued by fears and doubts regarding the message of Jesus, just let me share with you what you need to know. You need to know this. Everything that God said is true. Jesus is God's Son. Jesus did come into the world to die for you. He did die for you. He died on the cross, bearing your sins. But the story doesn't end there either, because he did raise from the dead on the third day, as the scriptures prophesied. He was seen alive, the Bible tells us, with many infallible proofs. And he did return back to heaven. There were eyewitnesses of that account. And as George said in the song service today, he's coming back to this earth again someday. And all of those who trust him by faith will be forever saved by his power. You might say, well, how can I know for sure? I thought it was interesting that in Mary's case, the angel, all of a sudden, while he's talking here, he starts talking about Elizabeth. He starts talking about what God had done in the life of her cousin Elizabeth. And Mary left immediately to go see Elizabeth. And when she got there, she found her pregnant. She found her to be exactly the way the angel said she would be. And Mary had positive proof that God had worked in the life of Elizabeth. And that gave her confidence to believe that he would work in her own life as well. If you want proof of the gospel this morning, the proof is in the changed hearts and lives of people that the gospel has reached. You look around this room today, and if you could know some of these people before they gave their hearts to Christ and before Christ came and redeemed them and changed them, you would not believe they were the kind of people that they were. God changes people. When he comes into your heart and when he comes into your life, he begins to work and he begins to conform you into his image. That old man is put away and all things become new. And to me, that is the greatest proof of the gospel that there is, the hearts and lives of changed men and women and boys and girls. And I would challenge you today to come to Christ just as you are. Don't wait until you get your life straightened out. Don't wait until everything's perfect and then give your life to Christ. You give your life to Christ right now, and he will change you into the kind of person that you want to be and he wants you to be. All around us are those lives that have been transformed by the hand of grace. And what Christ has done for others, he will certainly do for you as well. As we hear about the virgin birth and we think about God sending his son into the world to die for sinners, we might wonder why. Why would he even bother? Why would he do such a thing? We all know the scripture, John 3:16. For God so loved the world that he gave his only begotten son, that whosoever, you could put your name in there, believes in him should not perish, but have everlasting life. And Paul says that the cross of Calvary displays his wonderful love to us. The blessed Lamb of God was sent to this world through the womb of the Virgin Mary so that he might be born without sin, live a sinless life, and die for sin on the cross. So the question is not really why did God do this? The question is, what are you going to do about it? Have you trusted in Jesus as your Savior? Do you know the Lord? Not know about him today, do you know him? If there is a need for you to come to the Lord today and receive his Son Jesus by faith, I want you to know that God prepared the Lamb so that you might be saved. And he will save you if you would simply come and ask him today. Could I have your heads bowed and your eyes closed? Is there anybody here today you would have to admit, you know, Pastor, as you were speaking today, I realized that I know about Christ, but I also realized that I don't know him. And see, that's going to be the measure. Unfortunately, there will be some that will stand before the Lord on a day of judgment, and he will have to say, "Depart from me. I never knew you." There will be people there that will say, "But Lord, didn't I do this and that in your name?" And Jesus would have to say to them, "I never knew you." See, these were people that knew about him, but didn't know him. Is there anybody here by a raised hand would say, "Pastor, would you pray for me? I know about him, but today I want to know him." Is there anybody? Could I see your hand today? I'd like to pray for you, that's all. Is there anyone? I know about him, but I've not asked him to come into my life in a personal way so that I might know him in an intimate relationship. Is there anyone? And Christian, I would just challenge you today that this Christmas season, you would get to know him better. Not just his work, not just what he's done in the world, but you would get to know him. That was Paul's whole desire, that I might know him, that I might know him. If that's your prayer today, would you just whisper it where you're at? Lord, help me to know you more intimately. Father, we thank you for this day. We thank you for the lamb that was prepared. We thank you for the awesome privilege of having an intimate relationship with that lamb, with that Savior, with the one who will someday be King of Kings and Lord of Lords. We thank you that, Jesus, you have made it possible for us to have a relationship with our Creator, the one who created all that we see. And lastly, today I thank you, Lord, for the changed lives that are here today. Because men and women and boys and girls have come in contact with the name Jesus, and they have not been the same since. Lord, we ask that you would continue that saving, changing work in this church. Lord, we pray that this church would always be a place where we would proclaim the truth of the gospel and the virgin birth of Christ. We thank you for your presence here today, in this world and in our lives. For in Jesus' name we ask it.